Hello, folks. Welcome back to CIOs and Bowties, another riveting episode that we're bringing to you. As you know, we scour the world and we find macro themes and interesting people and deep investment theses to bring to you. So on the line today, we have a good one for you. We have Amit Somani. And a little bit about Amit. Amit is currently the managing partner at Prime Venture Partners, an early stage VC firm based out of Bangalore, India. Amit has over 25 years of experience in technology and internet and industries. He is deeply engaged in the early stage ecosystem in India. And that's something, Amit, we're definitely going to get into because there's some fascinating stuff going on in India, which I think we can all learn from. In a previous role, he was the chief product officer of Make My Trip, which listed on the NASDAQ in 2010. Amit has also been the head of various teams focusing on search, mobile, and advertisement products at Google, the winner of the Google Founders Award for search-based keyword tool. And I'm wondering if that's actually the big monster search-based keyword tool that we all use today, Amit. He was also at IBM in Silicon Valley, holds a master's in computer science from the Indian, a bachelor of computer science, the Indian Institute of Technology, Varanasi, and a master's in computer science from the University of Wisconsin. He likes to travel, an entrepreneur, and of course a sports enthusiast, so No episode of CIOs and Bowties is complete until we've spoken about cricket, Amit. So we'll leave that towards the end. So welcome on board. We're happy to have you here with us on CIOs and Bowties.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Really glad to be on the program.
Great. So Amit, you schooled in the United States. You worked in the U.S. for some period of time. And then you made a decision to head back to India. I think that's probably a while ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. So let's start there and just explain to us what the thought process was. I mean, was that a career breaker for you at the time? I guess I'm just curious about, what took you back from the USA, the shining USA, back to India all those years ago?
Sure, Greg. So I grew up in India, like you said, went to one of the IITs and then went to the U.S. for grad school. And I had a great time in the U.S. Professionally and personally. Actually, what brought me back was a personal reason with some health issue in the family. Oh. However, at that time, I was actually also quite optimistic about the future of India, more from a professional point of view for me personally, right? Because it felt like one was in the basement or the ground floor of what would be potentially a very tall building eventually. And now I've been here 12 years and it still does feel like we're still on, maybe the second floor of what could be a very, very tall building. So I think it takes a while for big buildings to be built. And so I came back for personal reasons, but I stayed back for professional reasons. And I was with Google at the time. So I think the opportunity, there's opportunity where there's chaos, right? And if you've ever visited India or any of your listeners have, there's a lot of chaos in India and we can talk about that. So yeah, I stayed back for the opportunity, but I came back for personal reasons.
Okay. All right. So that's good to know. And you have a fascinating approach, let me put it, if I can call it that, towards VC investing and towards, I guess, where the startup world is moving geographically. So we'll get to it all in good time. But I highly recommend the listeners go out and read some of Amit's articles, which he publishes on LinkedIn. But you say something in one of your articles, and I believe it's one factor to determine startup success. So I'm not really an early stage guru. I find it very, very difficult to handicap early stage venture companies, Amit. And you said something which I guess turns it all on its head, as far as I'm concerned. And the quote is this: you say the most important factor in a startup is actually timing. And, you know, the whole world will moan and groan around that comment because we all say, well, timing's all fair and well, but none of us are market timers. And in fact, I think that you're pointing perhaps to market timing being the biggest factor to success, as opposed to maybe the team members in an enterprise. So talk to us a little bit about timing. Talk to us about the importance of team members as well.
Sure. So, Greg, in an early stage startup, and typically at the stage at which a Prime Ventures, the firm that I co-manage, comes in, it's usually, you know, a guy and a gal and a dog in the garage, right? So you're really just starting out. Capital is a big constraint. Often you're either bootstrapped or maybe you've raised some angel money. And therefore, with that constraint comes this question of how are you going to get your product or your new idea or your solution into people's hands. So distribution is very, very key. And that distribution is going to come by, you know, often people will do a lot of, we do a lot of tech investments for the most part, right? So it's going to come from digital distribution on platforms like the Googles and the Facebooks and the others of the world. So if you have an idea which is not a very compelling idea, where people are not clamoring for it, right? And there is not a inherent pull from the market, then you're going to be, you know, in this model of pushing a boulder uphill, right? You're going to be convincing people, look, you have this problem and trust me, you have this problem and therefore you should do it. For most early stage startups, right, I believe that if you have a problem that there is a inherent both latent and or expressed demand for, either expressed or something that you as a smart entrepreneur can figure out, then the battle becomes much, much simpler, right? Because for most people, you know, building the product is not going to be that difficult. It takes time, takes effort, it takes skill. But really finding real meaty customer problems which they have and they have today is very interesting. Mark Andreessen had this really nice quote many moons ago, which said, hey, there is no such thing as a bad idea. There's only bad timing, right? So you have to wait till the timing is right kind of for an idea. So if you were doing mobile payments in India, for example, say 15 years ago, well before smartphone penetration, well before mobile data had penetration, you know, you might actually not get a lot of traction and you might think, hey, this is a terrible idea. But no, not really. It's not a terrible idea. It's just the timing of the idea was a bit off, right? But you know, look circa 2014 or 2019, the whole country is on digital payments and on mobile payments.
Right. Okay. I understand now what you mean by timing. So, well, let's cover off. Let's revisit that if we may. Can you just spend a few minutes and tell us, okay, so let's say you found an idea and the timing is perfect and we're going to explore how to determine if the timing's perfect. But now what do you, as a VC who's underwriting these investments, what do you look for in the actual team members, the guy, the dog, and the garage, so to speak? What is important to you when you look at those factors?
Sure. So the number one factor that we look for at Prime Ventures is basically the learning ability of the founders, right? Because startups is like basically like a maze that you have to solve. So you have to really have ability to iterate through that maze, to be able to learn at every turn of that maze, at every dead end that you might reach. So do they have a strong learning quotient? Can they quickly learn and iterate through? And a lot of that will, I won't kid ourselves here, a lot of that will be subjective because you explore, you meet them multiple times, you see what they have done in the past and so forth. So that is number one. The number two thing I would say is dogged persistence, right? So startups are definitely a marathon and not a sprint. And therefore you need to have something that the founders are so passionate about, almost in a missionary sense, that they will stick with it with, you know, the many more down days than that they will have than up days, right? So those are two unique things we look for, in addition to, of course, you know, their functional competence or their prior backgrounds and so forth, but learning quotient and persistence to solve hard problems. Those are typically good indicators for startup.
Yeah, and I've heard that, time and again from VCs, you know, the ability to pivot, I think is how I've heard it said before. But how do you test that in someone? How do you identify that learning quotient in someone?
So Greg, what happens is if you you know, if you're iterating through a problem, let's say you twist the particular problem that you have, right? So for example, if you were to ask me, hey, like you did just now, that, hey, timing doesn't matter so much in the public markets and it's impossible to time public markets. And actually one could argue that similar things are true in the private market as well. But now if we said, hey, let's go apply this to some other business and see what are the businesses where timing could be important, right? This is an area which is an unknown potentially for you as well as for me. How does the founder respond to that? And not just in that moment in that conversation, but you might meet them again in a week or 2 weeks, right? Or if you have a twist to their business model, or if you have a different vertical. I just came from a founder meeting and I was saying, hey, you chose this vertical to launch your business in as a beachhead. What if you chose some other vertical? What would be the pros and cons of that? Or how would you sort of go about that? And why not that other vertical as opposed to this one? And so forth. So in multiple meetings, when you're basically having a somewhat holistic conversation with some open-ended kind of questions, the best founders will take either a train of thought or an idea and really build on it. So the next time you build, they have three more things to add on what you guys discussed, right? And so forth. So it's actually, you can pick up signals from that. And at other times you'll find people who would be like, hey, I've kind of abandoned that thread and it was just an intellectual coffee time conversation. So sort of moved on, including discussing the ideas. I'm not even saying every idea or every permutation is a good one, but they would very quickly figure that out and say, no, I don't want to do a SaaS only business model, or I don't want to do a hardware only business. Or, you know, you talked about SaaS, you know, I went and thought about it. And in this way, SaaS could work as a business model. And in that other way, it might not. So you get that over iterations. You won't get it in one conversation.
Okay. Yeah. I can see the gears turning as you're speaking. So let's go back now to the timing exercise. You have a quote. I don't know if it's your quote or not, so you can correct me, but I loved it. And it's called The Vitamins Versus the Painkiller. So explain to us what you mean by that. When you find a problem, how do you know that the solution is a painkiller versus a vitamin? And what is the importance of each?
Absolutely. So, you know, the vitamin is a metaphor for something that's a nice to have, right? So I might need to take a vitamin D supplement or a vitamin B12 supplement or perhaps some other supplement, right? And that's okay. However, if I have a real, headache, or I'm running some fever or something, I must, get some medication for that or get some alternative treatment for that. It's not an option. It's not like, hey, this might be nice for you, at a certain point in time and so forth, right? So that is where it derives from. So often now, because the cost of launching a new idea or a startup has become so low, thanks to all the advances in computing and in software as a service business models and so forth, that people will do a gazillion ideas where often it's like a nice to have, right? It is something that, I wouldn't kind of mind having, right? It's interesting, right? I might get the 17th view, since you do a lot with the public markets, or a 17th different view to visualize public market stock movements and so forth. But I might come to a Greg Silverman and he's like, yeah, that's kind of nice. I have 14 other tools that do the same thing. Maybe I'll try yours as well, because I don't know where there might be some hidden alpha, but it's not really a burning problem that I have, right? Painkillers, on the other hand, have this inherent property, which is, and I've kind of written this up in one of my articles, where if I may just go a little bit on a tangent and describe that, saying the customer has a problem, the customer recognizes that they have a problem, they go and then, have found a solution. The solution may be suboptimal, but they've kind of got some solution, right? So maybe it's the visualization of the portfolio or analysis of an aggregate portfolio risk or something like that. So they had a problem, they found a solution, but it's a little suboptimal and they're a little unhappy with the solution, right? So now you're no longer, it also goes back to the timing question we were talking about earlier. Now it's no longer that I have to convince the customer you have a problem, right? I have a problem, I've got a solution, not happy with it. Now, boom, comes in a startup which has a solution which is dramatically better, which is something that is really addressing that pain point that that customer has. Those tend to be some of the best startups, and those tend to be the painkiller problems. So those are must-have things that the customer needs. One, you will have an easier time selling it to the customer. Two, you will have better time retaining the customer. Three, you'll have some pricing advantage and so forth. So that's kind of what we mean by vitamin versus sort of painkiller. to say, you know, look for the painkiller problems, look for the must-have solutions. And often people will argue that, hey, this will not work well for a solution such as a iPhone or an Airbnb and so on. But even for those, there are proxies, right, where people will basically say, hey, look, hotel demand is a problem, right? And or price of hotels is a problem, which is why you need an Airbnb. So let me just pause there.
Okay. Well, we're going to pause as well. again, you've got me thinking on a lot of levels here, Amit. So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to delve a little bit deeper into this area of painkiller or as you call discontent. So hang with us, folks, and we'll be right back.